With Debbie being away in China, I got to take her class. I was her substitute teacher for the past couple of weeks, and at first I was bringing in some current events. And my class, they were all in agreement that with all the bad news, they really didn't want to talk about the news anymore. So we moved to entertainment news, and that was very interesting, and then went on to talk about travel this week. So we went to Clearwater, Florida. We went to Hawaii. We went to Italy. Not really, of course. But we had a great time in our ESL class with that. But, you know, we do live in a world where there's just so much bad news. Sometimes it's just easier for us to turn the TV off, turn the computer off. How many of you still get newspapers? Maybe you read a newspaper or a news magazine. Sometimes you just want to, to close it up, and you're just kind of tired of all the bad news, another shooting on a college campus. I just learned on Friday night of another friend who's been fighting cancer for the past number of months. And we live in a world with so much bad news that it's really good for us as followers of Jesus to learn what the good news is and then to be able to share it with others. We live in a world that is so desperate for some good news. How many of you would like some good news this morning? And so the good news this morning, it's really actually great news. The great news is that you can have a new beginning. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them you can have a new start? We can get a brand new start. That can happen individually. That can happen in relationships. But we can have a brand new beginning. And this is really the great news. And it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what's been done to you. This great news does not depend on the past, but we find our foundation for that in the past because Jesus did something about the condition that we are in. That is why it is good news. It doesn't depend on our past. It doesn't depend on our present and what is going on right now in your world, but it has everything to do with the very presence of God available to us right here, right now. And it doesn't matter what your future holds. What we know as the promise through the great news of Jesus Christ is that we have the promise of a wonderful future. And so the good news is that you can have a brand new start. You can have a new beginning. And today, this good news is all about new beginnings. And it's a message of new beginnings only found in Jesus Christ. And what we can do is to start that new beginning, we just trust him and we turn to him. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be walking with Jesus by walking through the Gospel of Mark together. Last week, I drew your attention to a scripture that I had memorized a while ago, and it was out of 1 John chapter 2, where John was saying that, this is how we know that we are in him, that whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And so what we're going to do is for the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at how Jesus lived his life. We're going to walk with Jesus that we might live like Jesus. And so my encouragement to you last week was to begin to read the Gospel of Mark, to read the first two chapters of that gospel. This next week, you can read Mark chapters 3 and 4 to get ready for next week. But what we'll do is we'll take a short section out of each of those passages and go through that together. And my text this morning is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. That's going to be the outline that I'm going to follow this morning, is just what we find in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And since it's short, let's read this together. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So ancient writers would use in their opening line what modern writers would use for a title. And so this opening phrase was selected with great care to share what the content was going to be regarding that book. And so each word in this first sentence is very strategic. So let's talk about beginnings. Mark starts out his gospel by saying the beginning. And maybe when you hear a book start off with the beginning, maybe your memory goes back to other books that start like in the beginning. Anybody know where that's found? Right in the beginning, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created. And what Mark is doing is, you know, so this is what he wants his readers to recall. In Greek, and what they would have done is many times what the New Testament writers did was that they quoted the scriptures as they were translated in Greek. During this time, there was a group of 70 teachers, and what they did was they translated, just for starters, the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, and they called it the Septuagint. And maybe you've seen in commentaries LXX, which means 70, but what they did was they translated the scriptures into Koine Greek, which was the common Greek. At that time. So whether you were a Roman citizen and you were a God-fearer and you were following the God of Yahweh, or whether you were a Jew at that time and you were reading these words, you would have read in Mark arche, or beginning, and then that would have grabbed your attention because, oh yeah, that starts off with Genesis chapter 1. And Mark's not the only one who does this, because John does this twice. You remember in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John's smaller letter, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he also says that what we know from the beginning, he wants us to go back, and he wants us to, both of these writers are saying, listen, this is a new beginning in Jesus Christ. And so what he is doing is he's imitating this opening verse of the Septuagint in Genesis chapter 1. And he wants his readers to realize that this book is a new beginning in which God reveals the good news, the great news about Jesus Christ. In Genesis, God had begun a new thing, new creation, new humanity, new heaven, new earth. And so, understood against this background, Mark is making this point. In Jesus, there is a new beginning. There's a new start for us. And so, what they do is they point to the fact that in Jesus, we have a new beginning. The old is gone. The new has come. Death gives way to life. Darkness gives way to light. Fear gives way to confidence. Temptation gives way to victory. And in Jesus, we have a new beginning. And it's the beginning of the gospel. The Greek word evangelion is where we get our word for evangelism, evangelical, evangelist. And gospel itself comes from an old English word, gospel. The Greek word originally meant the reward for those who would go out and share the good news, but then it became to mean the good news itself. So in the New Testament, the good news is that God has provided salvation through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Mark is essentially saying this. He's saying that the nature of what he is writing is to be announced. And it, you know, if you notice that if you read any the four Gospels, Mark's is shorter. And it's almost to the point. And what he wants to do is, right from the very beginning, is to tell his readers that this is not only just good news for us to receive, but also for us, it's good news for us to share. And so he wants us to know right from the very start that this is something that is to be announced. It's meant to be good news delivered by people who need it to other people who need it. A world that doesn't know Jesus Christ isn't the only ones who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all need to preach the gospel to ourselves, to one another, to even when when you're talking to yourself, what do you say? Is it gospel-centered or is it work-centered? Is it about a God who loves you or someone who's always pointing out, oh, you did this and you did that, you must not be a child of God, right? We have to preach the gospel to ourselves inwardly as well. And so Jesus' cousin, John, was sent by God ahead of Jesus to prepare people for Jesus' life and message. And Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and continues on. It goes from the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem came out to him, confessing their sins to him and being baptized by him in the Jordan River. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people getting ready. And what they were doing was that through baptism, they were getting themselves ready. They were preparing themselves for what God wanted to do next. And John told these tens of thousands of people that were coming to him what his purpose was. In Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, and this was John's message, essentially. It says, after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John's baptism was meant to prepare them for Jesus. Come, empty yourself, repent, empty yourself of yourself and empty yourself of your sin so that you might be filled with Jesus. John said that his baptism was a baptism of water, but Jesus was going to come and would fill them, would immerse them, would surround them, would soak them in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the word baptism means to be fully immersed. Jesus himself was fully immersed by John in the Jordan River, but not to repent of his own sins. Jesus was simply identifying with us. And so baptism is a sacrament with incredible meaning. It means just as Jesus died and was buried in the earth and risen to new life, in baptism we die to ourselves and are risen to new life in Christ. But then it also talks about this cleansing, this inward cleansing that takes place inside of us. And it's a picture of that. And thousands upon thousands were coming to John to be baptized after they had confessed their sins to him, and they were turning to God in repentance. They were doing a 180. They were changing direction, not only of their mind, but a direction of their hearts and of their very lives. And so Jesus didn't have to repent of anything. He was just simply identifying with us, identifying with our tests and our temptations. He would be led into the Spirit, led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every single way that we were, but he did not sin. The gospel message is a message of turning and identifying ourselves with the one who identified himself with us. And Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, it says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The good news, the great news of Jesus Christ, that if we're going to get a brand new start, it starts by us turning from sin and turning to him. It starts with us putting our faith, our trust in him. And Mark 1:22 says that the people were amazed at Jesus when he taught, because he taught them as one who had authority, not like the teachers of the law. I mean, the teachers of the law, they would quote this teacher and quote that teacher, and Jesus would just simply quote the scriptures and would teach based on his own authority. You see, Jesus had authority because he was the authority. He didn't come just to teach a message. Jesus was the message. He didn't come just to share truth. Jesus was the truth. He didn't come just to teach the word. He was the word. And so this is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. The new beginning that we can have is solely based in Jesus and his teachings. The gospel message isn't just a message about teachings. It's a message about the teacher. The good news is about a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And Mark's intent is to proclaim this brand new start, this new beginning, this gospel, and rooting it in the events of Jesus Christ, in his life and in his teachings. So the gospel is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. You know, you can read Joshua. In Hebrew, you would have said Yeshua. Everybody say Yeshua. Awesome, you're speaking Hebrew. But his name means Yahweh is salvation. God was not just providing salvation for people. God was salvation. And it's this name Jesus, or Iesus in Greek, Yeshua in Hebrew. It was the name revealed by the angel to Joseph when Jesus was born, and it was given as a description of Jesus' mission. The angel told Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. When we say that we are saved, we are saying that we are saved from sin. We are saying that we are saved from our past. We are saying that we are saved from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. Jesus took the penalty of sin upon himself, and he also took the power of sin so that we could have victory over temptation. He took on our punishment, and his presence gives us everything that we need to live the way he wants us to. So Yeshua, Jesus, was a common personal name frequently adopted by Jewish parents, especially after the Joshua of the Bible. And though he had a common name, he had an uncommon title. His title was Christ. Christ is the Greek word for anointed or anointed one. And in Hebrew, it's Messiah. Where Jesus may have been a commonly used name, Christ was a very uncommon title. For Mark, the Christ is the one that God anointed to bring in a new kingdom. Jesus is the new king, and we are to serve him in his kingdom. And so his message was a message about his kingdom. It's also a message about Jesus as king. Mark 1:15 says, the time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God was near because the king was near, Jesus arriving on the scene. And so Mark believed that another title was especially appropriate for Jesus, and that was Son of God. Son of God is a very important theme for Mark, and you'll find it in 9 different places in his gospel. The son is known by his love for his father and by his father's love for him. And when Jesus was coming up out of the water, if you remember this, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And I want you to think about this for a second. Jesus heard his father's love for him long before he preached any sermons or did any miracles. He had submitted himself to Joseph and Mary. He had more than likely worked in Joseph's carpentry business. And that's what his life was like through his first 30 years. He's baptized by John in the Jordan River, and he hears the Father saying, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. The Father's love was not based on even Jesus' performance. The Father's love is not based on your performance. The Father's love is not based on your past. The Father's love is not based on your present or your future. The Father's love is based on the fact that the Father is love. It is his character. That's God loves because God is love. And the message is the message of Jesus Christ, but the message is also Jesus. He was the speaker. He was also the one spoken about. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter whether he was in a synagogue or on the seaside. He is still the center and the topic of discussion. It doesn't matter whether he was on the heights of a mountain or in the depths of a valley. Jesus is the central figure of this gospel. He takes center stage. And so as we work our way through the Gospel of Mark, what we are what we want to do is encourage you to walk with Jesus. Early on in the movement that gave birth to the Evangelical Covenant Church, one of the questions that they would ask one another is, how's your walk? How's your walk with Jesus? Are you walking with him? So this is a message. Are you reading the message? It's a message about new beginnings. Are you finding a brand new start every single day in Jesus? This is a new beginning that is found in a message of repentance, of turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, of turning to Jesus and trusting in Jesus. And so when we turn to Yeshua, Jesus, we're turning to the one who saves us from our sins. When we turn to the Christ, to God's anointed King, we are turning to someone that we are submitting our lives to. Are you submitting yourself to his leadership in your life? And we turn to the Son of God, the Son of God who heard the Father's voice, you are my Son, with you I am well pleased. Do you hear that as well? One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to testify with our spirit that we are a child of God. And so the invitation that Jesus gave his disciples 2,000 years ago is the same invitation that he gives us this morning. When he comes up to Peter and he says, come, follow me. Or he comes up to John and he says, come, follow me. Or in Mark chapter 2, when he comes to a tax collector's booth by the name of Levi, and he wants this man to follow him. Now, this would have been so strange for Levi to hear because there were religious leaders of his day that wanted nothing to do with him. He was a Jew, but he essentially had turned his back on his own countrymen by being a tax collector, and he would skim more off for himself than he needed to. And so Levi found himself in this group of people that religious people looked upon and called sinners. And so when Jesus calls to Levi and says, Levi, come, follow me. And Jesus comes to this meal that's at Levi's house. And Jesus is having dinner with these tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. It was the religious leaders of his day that were going and talking to his disciples and saying, why does he hang out with sinners? Friends, if you know you're a sinner this morning, this is good news for us. Jesus spends time with sinners, and Jesus still calls sinners to come to him, to turn to him, to repent, to follow him. Will you follow him this morning? Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son who calls us to follow him, who's been calling us to follow him for 2,000 years. And Lord, I pray that those of us who are following your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that we would be so excited about this gospel message, a message about new beginnings, a brand new start, the start that Levi had and would one day become Matthew, a writer of a gospel message. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to realize who we are and whose we are, that we would know that we are your sons and your daughters, that we would know that we have eternal life. And so I pray, Father God, that today and for every day this week, you would help us to follow closely to your Son, Jesus Christ. So close that we could say with your beloved Apostle John that we are living and walking like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.